What is it that you fear? Is it spiders? Is it snakes? Is it the fear of heights? Or is it the fact that we're going to have a supply chain cut down and we're not going to have enough Christmas presents ready for us? What is it that you fear? Is it you fear the presence of God? Is it that God has spoken to you in a moment and you are fearful, you are trembling what God is saying to you, and you're not sure how the trajectory of your life is going to go on from here? My name's Keith Harcombe, and I'm your lead pastor here at Palm Harbor. If I haven't met you yet, I'd love to meet you. I'll be in the lobby after service, but we're right in the middle of our series on Do Not Fear. At the beginning, we talked about how the disciples were fearful of seeing a ghost. It was Jesus walking on the Sea of Galilee. Last week, we were talking about the atmosphere and how Martha feared the very atmosphere that people were going to be a part of after her brother came out of the tomb. This week, we're talking about angels, and next week, we'll talk about scary visions of skeletons coming out of tombs and walking around like zombies. All of them and all of these are mentioned in our Bibles and cause us to fear. Sometimes our fear is a trembling. Sometimes it's a fear about what God's actually telling us to do. Sometimes we are so overwhelmed, it's like, there's no way that's going to happen through me. And that's where we are in our Bibles today. There was a man, Zechariah, who was a priest, and he was seeking the presence of God. It was part of his duty to seek the presence of God, and he was fearful when that happened. We're in Luke chapter 1, right at the beginning of the third gospel. So we're in Luke chapter 1. If you've got a Bible, one of these ones, open it to Luke chapter 1. If you've got an app on your phone, open it. Just type in Luke 1. If you're online, just open up another tab as you share with us. Read it with me. You might have heard it before, but read along with me. You might hear, you might see something different. Verse 5, when Herod was king of Judea, there was a Jewish priest named Zechariah. He was a member of the priestly order of Abijah, and his wife, Elizabeth, was also from the priestly line of Aaron. Zechariah and Elizabeth were righteous in God's eyes, careful to obey all of the Lord's commandments and regulations. They had no children because Elizabeth was unable to conceive, and they were both very old. Zechariah was a member of the order of the priests of Abijah. Now, Abijah was one of the orders, one of the eight orders of priests that survived the return back from Babylon, that survived the people that came back from exile. And he was a member of that order, so very like high up in station. And he was very blessed in the fact that he'd married someone, Elizabeth, who was also descended from a priestly tribe, which was Aaron, nonetheless. So both of them were high up in the priestly realms of orders. Both of them were righteous in God's sight. They did what was right in the eyes of the Lord. They upheld the law. They observed the Mishnahs in the Jewish tradition. Even in the people around them, they were considered righteous and did what was right in other people's eyes. Now, in popular thought that back then, if you were righteous, if you were godly, if you were someone that was following God, then you would be blessed with children. You would be rewarded with offspring. Ironically, Zechariah and Elizabeth had no children, and now they were old. In fact, Elizabeth and Zechariah in this story were 80 years old at this point in their lives. And they had no children, and they still wanted them. One day, Zechariah was serving in the temple, for his order was on duty that week. As was the custom of the priests, he was chosen by lot to enter the sanctuary of the Lord and burn incense. While the incense was being burned, a great crowd stood outside praying. So Abijah, this order of priests, was their turn to minister in the sanctuary. It was their turn to be part of the duties of the temple. And each order of rabbis would have each order of priests, I should say, they had 2 weeks a year when they would do all the duties in the temple. Now, there was a lot of priests, and there were way too many priests and not enough people. There were way too many pastors and not enough people, amen? And they would occupy all the duties in the temple, and there was enough duties to go around. So the task of bringing in the presence of God, the setting up the incense, was drawn by lot. To you and I, it was basically rock, paper, scissors, shoot. Rock, paper, scissors, shoot. Okay, you're in. You're going to go into the temple. You're going to go into the holy place. You're going to go into the holy of holies, and you are going to swing the incense. Now, if you got this, if you were a priest that received this wonderful blessing, you only ever got it once. So if your order was on duty twice in that year, you wouldn't do it again. So this was a chance in a lifetime. This was a chance in a lifetime to passionately participate in something you believe so deeply in. He was so excited that he got chosen and he was going to go in and he was going to swing the incense and he was going to make it smell good and he was going to hear from God and he was going to tell the Jews, tell the priestly order and everybody else what God was saying. So he was in Jerusalem. He was in the temple. He was in the holy place of the temple, and he would enter into the Holy of Holies, and where he would spin the incense. He would move it around. And when he got to this place, he'd have everything arranged. He'd have everything arranged right and do what he'd been brought up to do as a priest. All his life had led up to this very moment. Everything he'd learned, everything he'd done would be for Zechariah to invoke the presence of the Lord and seek his face. And he would go out from this Holy of Holies, from the sanctuary, from the altar, and he would go out and tell everybody what was happening. And it was his turn. This was a chance of a lifetime. Literally, it was a chance. Rock, paper, scissors. It was done by lot. And so his order and he were in the holy place, and he was in the Holy of Holies. So he was there, and a great crowd of people were outside. Great crowd of priests, because not all the priests are allowed in. A great crowd of priests are outside, and a great crowd of Jewish people in the holy place, waiting to hear from God, waiting to hear what God was going to say, whether this was going to be, everybody thinks Israel is doing well. Everybody thinks that Israel is doing right in God's sight. Give us a benediction. Give us something that we can hang on to. Verse 11, while Zechariah was in the sanctuary, an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing to the right of the incense altar. Zechariah was shaken and overwhelmed with fear when he saw him. But the angel said, "Don't be afraid, Zechariah. God has heard your prayers. Your wife, Elizabeth, will give you a son, and you are to name him John. You will have great joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth. For he will be great in the eyes of the Lord. He must never touch wine or other alcoholic drinks. He will be filled with the Holy Spirit even before his birth. And he will turn many Israelites to the Lord their God. He will be a man with the spirit and power of Elijah. He will prepare the people for the coming of the Lord. He will turn the hearts of the fathers to the children. And he will cause those who are rebellious to accept the wisdom of the godly." So, Elijah is his basis. He knows the scriptures so well. And Zechariah gets to the altar, and he's got all his religious furniture set up right. He knows how to do this. He's been trained. He's got everything set up right. And he starts swinging the incense, and he starts setting it up right, makes sure it looks right. He's got everything in place, all of the religious stuff in place. And then all of a sudden, an angel comes. To the right of him, an angel comes as he's trying to arrange things. An angel comes to the south side of the temple and says, "Zechariah, I've got 16 things to tell you. 16 things to pronounce to you as an angel. I'll just double click on angel for a minute. Angels are godly presences. They are declaring God's messages. And all the way through the Bible, there's 210 mentions in the Old Testament and 80 in the New Testament. And normally when an angel shows up, something massive is happening. It's like what's going on in heaven and what's going on earth meet together, and it's an absolute pronouncement of something beautiful. Angels announce what God is doing, and they protect and support the mission of Jesus. Always they have something to say, always depicted as strong, mighty men that are fearful. They don't have wings on the back. It's not Victoria's Secret. It's just this beautiful depiction of fear. And this particular one, this particular angel that was to the right here was Gabriel. Now, Gabriel in the realm of angels is number two. The first one is Michael, and Gabriel is next. He's the number two. So if Gabriel shows up, you know something's coming up. You know something's being announced. You know there's something massive that's going to come into this particular moment. An angel is somebody who brings fear. But they always say, do not fear. Someone's on it, yeah. They always say, do not fear. Because this is a scary moment. This is a scary moment that Zechariah can't handle. Always, when an angel turns up, it's something that we can't really do ourselves. Always, it's something that they're like, oh, wow, I can't do that. The tangent is going to change. The direction is going to change of the life of Zechariah. I remember a time when the tangent of my life, the direction of my life, went in a totally different way. In a previous life, I was in the Navy, in the Royal Navy, and the ship that I was on was in this little island called Puerto Rico. And in Puerto Rico, we were at this base called Rosie Roads, and whilst we were there, we met with some people from another church. They took us around and showed us hospitality and fellowship, and they helped us to see a bit more of the glory of God on Puerto Rico. We went around the rainforest. It was gorgeous. And there was a guy there that had been asking questions about who God was. I'll never forget him. His name is Dave Gator. And Dave was asking me about whom God was and how he can interact in our lives. And we started to talk to him. And he was struggling with something. He said that, my wife and I, we go to church back home. We participate in the services, and we see something of God there. But when I come back to the Navy, when I come back to the ship, I kind of go back to my old like ways of Navy life, and I'll let you fill in there whatever you want as what you think that is. And he was struggling with this, and he said, it's kind of like I've got one foot in one camp, one foot in the other. And whilst we were walking around this tropical rainforest, I says, well, at some point you're going to have to, put both feet in and follow one thing. I never thought anything about it. The ship got back home, and we went on 2 weeks leave. He went off, I went in my direction, and then we come back, and then the ship gets busy when you come back off of leave, and there was people everywhere walking up and down the main passageway. And the main passageway is where everyone bumps into each other and work goes on. It's like the two-deck is the main place where things happen. And I was standing there just talking, and up walked Dave Gator to me. He says, Keith, I got something to tell you. I says, what's that? He says, my wife and I, we decided, put both feet in, and we decided to follow Jesus. I said, yes. And at that point, something happened in my life. There was a chill that went down my spine. I was living in fear because I wasn't really sure whether I was going to do this whole, telling other people about Jesus thing. It was like there was an angel present. It was like there was this great big proclamation. I mean, Gabriel wasn't there, but it certainly felt like it. And that particular moment changed the direction of my life forever. This moment changed the direction of Zechariah's life forever. The angel said 16 things to him. He says, you're going to have a son. Your prayer has been answered. He went in to the Holy of Holies to hear from God. And Gabriel spoke to him and said, you're going to have your prayer answered. He went in to hear about Israel and how Israel was doing and how the nation was gonna work under God. And he went out having his own prayers answered. The prayers that were on his heart. The prayers that were on Elizabeth's heart. 80 years old and still wanting a baby. He says, you're going to have a baby. And your baby is going to be called John, which means the Lord is gracious. And no matter what order you are from, whether you're from Abijah, whether you're from Aaron, whether you're from Israel, whether you're from Greece, whether you're from England, whether you're from Nigeria, he says, you are going to know that the Lord is gracious. Amen? He says, you're going to be blessed. You're going to have your socks blessed off. You're going to know this moment is about your future. In fact, this child, he's going to be so different. And he's going to prepare the way of the Lord for Jesus. You're going to have an amazing life. People are going to rejoice. You're going to rejoice. Your wife Elizabeth is going to rejoice. And everybody around you is going to rejoice about some of the things he's going to say. He's going to prepare the way. Some people are not going to rejoice so much when they hear what he's got to say. Others are going to experience new life and life in abundance. They're going to have a life-changing moment with Jesus Christ. And he will cause those who are rebellious to accept the wisdom of the godly. It's this great announcement, this moment when Gabriel is speaking to Zechariah. And what does Zechariah say? What does the guy who went in to hear from God, what does he say when God is speaking to him through his number two man, Gabriel? He says, how can that be? How can I be sure that this will happen? I am an old man now, and my wife is also well along in years. And the angel said, I am Gabriel. Oh, I wonder what that was like when he said that. I am Gabriel. But I wonder what that was like. I am Gabriel. I stand in the very presence of God. It was he who sent me to bring you this good news. But now, since you didn't believe what I said, you will be silent and unable to speak until the child is born, for my words will certainly be fulfilled at the proper time. Zechariah goes in to the temple. The temple which is in Jerusalem, the holy city. He goes into the holy city. He goes into the temple. He goes into the holy place. He goes into the Holy of Holies and gets the best job ever, the chance in a lifetime to hear from God. He goes in to hear from God, and when God speaks, what does he say? I don't believe. I don't believe that you're saying this to me, God. I don't believe you're answering my prayers. I don't believe that the words that you're saying to me might make sense, because biologically, that's impossible. My wife can't have a child. I know all the science behind that. You can't do that. Gabriel says, I'm Gabriel. I get to say what's on God's heart. I get to tell you what's happening. Always in the Gospels, the priestly voice is being quieted and the voice of prophecy is rising up. And he says, now you're going to be quiet because you don't believe. Now you're going to be quiet for 9 months. When John comes on this earth through your wife, Elizabeth, you're going to be quiet. You're not going to be quiet for 9 minutes, not for 9 days, not for 9 months. My wife would love for that to happen to me. She'd just be happy if I was quiet after 10 o'clock at night. you're going to be quiet. You don't believe. You're going to be quiet, and I'm going to raise up a prophetic voice. And this voice doesn't belong to Abijah, doesn't belong to Aaron's tribe, doesn't belong to any tribe. In fact, he's going to wear all sorts of weird clothes, but he's going to proclaim the way of the Lord, and the prophetic voice is going to rise up. And it's going to be through you. And whether you believe it or not, you're going to be quiet. And God is going to do something massive in your wife and you. Meanwhile, the people are outside. The priests, the Jews, are outside in the holy place, waiting for Zechariah to come out of the sanctuary, wondering why he was taking so long. And when he finally did come out, he couldn't speak to them. Then they realized from the gestures and his silence that he must have seen a vision in the sanctuary. And when Zechariah's week of service in the temple was over, he returned home. So the people are outside waiting to hear from God, waiting to hear from Yahweh, a message from Yahweh. Israel, you are doing so well. You are reflecting my presence in your life. Just something, anything, just like a benediction that says, yeah, you're doing good. And they're looking at their watches like, normally it doesn't take this long. Normally doesn't preach, it doesn't take this long, all right? Normally, what's going on? Why is he so long? Finally, he comes out. He comes out to give the message, to give the message that he's meant to do, the message that he's called to do, the fact that he's meant to use his mouth all his life, what he's used to do, to declare the praises of him who sent him, to declare what Yahweh was going to say. He comes out to say something. He couldn't talk. They gave him a game of charades. What's happened to him? He's seen a vision. He's seen something. He's seen a messenger of God. And he goes home. And he goes home to his wife. What happened to Zechariah? Zechariah seen a vision. Zechariah seen something massive in his life through chance, through an eternal game of rock, paper, scissors. A chance moment had him in a life-changing moment, and the trajectory of his life completely changed. God said to him, I am going to show you something. I am going to show you that the Lord is gracious. I am going to show you through your son. And this child is going to be the prophetic voice. And God spoke to Zechariah. Each week we gather here and get together to and arrange ourselves to hear from God. Each week we gather here so that we would perhaps have a moment when we hear a message from God. Maybe an angel. We want to hear from God. And we sometimes fear what God is going to say to us. Maybe God said something to you today, like Chris was saying, and you're like, ah, that can't be for me. That's not for me. That's biologically impossible. That can't be for me, that message. I just fear that, and it causes me to tremble. Each week we gather here and we get together so that God might speak to us. And we rehearse, we sing songs, we rehearse songs in the week, and we get songs together so that it might be a beautiful representation and it might seek the heart of God to speak to our hearts. And then we proclaim, we tell of the Bible, we proclaim the message, and then we go from here to tell other people what God's going on in life. And sometimes God says something to you and we say, nah, I don't believe that. I don't believe that. No way. God has a message for you today. God might turn up in the voice of an angel. God might turn up through Michael or Gabriel or some heartwarming moment. And he wants to speak to you today. And he wants to say to you, I have a different tangent for your life. I have a different pathway for your life that is going to bless your socks off. And it's going to show you the grace of God abounding in your life. I'm going to show you this today. This is the day. This is the time when it will happen. And maybe God is speaking to you right at this very moment. Maybe he's spoken to you through the songs that we've sang, through the worship that we've done together. Maybe he's speaking to you just through the scripture. Maybe it's a small voice in your head. But God wants you not to fear today. He wants you not to fear the voice of angels. He wants you not to fear what the message he has for you. Do not fear angels, and you will see the presence of God in your life. Amen. Let's pray together. Gracious God, you do want to do something in our lives. You do want to work in our lives. You want to show us, maybe through Gabriel, maybe through Michael, but you want to speak to our hearts today. And we open them now. We ask you, Lord, that no matter what's going on in our lives, no matter what we've been through, no matter what tribe we are in, no matter what order of priests that we come from, no matter what background we think that you can't handle, we ask, Lord, that you would speak to us. Speak to us, Lord, now as we close. Speak to us through the presence of your Son. Speak to us through the presence of your Holy Spirit. That we might be yours and we might follow you with all of our hearts. We ask this in your precious and powerful name. And everybody said, Amen.